Please take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. Today's Sunday, September 22nd, 2024. Already. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We looked at that verse last week. It would be better understood as, "Do not be fashioned by this age," the age we are living in now. Ephesians tells us there are ages to come that are going to be a lot more pleasant than this age. But God's Word tells us to not be fashioned by this age. And it's a choice to either be fashioned or be transformed. It's a choice. And the choice is made by words we accept or believe. All of our beliefs are based on words that we hear and then decide to accept or believe. That's where all of our beliefs come from words that we hear. And people at times wonder how other people can agree with things that are contrary to the Word of God, ungodly ideologies, devilish ideas. How can people not see that those things are evil? It's because they're deceived because of what they believe. That's why they don't see it. And we know that God cannot and does not lie. And that means that the words of God, the Bible, rightly understood, is the absolute, complete truth, period. And therefore, words, ideas, ideologies, etc. are promoted that are contrary to God's Word are lies. God's Word is truth. Something contrary to truth is what?
Lie.
It's a lie. It's real simple. This morning, we're going to see how we can avoid being deceived, so that we don't get fashioned by this age, but instead transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Psalm 12, let's first look at two psalms that kind of show the contrast of words. We're going to be focusing this morning on words. So, Psalm 12. Verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words." How pure are they? Well, they're as pure as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So when you have metals and they heat them in order to get the impurities out, if you were to take a hunk of silver and purify it seven times, you have pure silver. So what God is saying is that His words are pure. There's no impurity in His word. They're absolutely pure words. And in contrast, look at Psalm 36. There are, of course, as you know, a lot of verses that talk about how wonderful God's word is. Psalm 36 is talking about the wicked. But verse 3 says, "The words of his mouth," referring to the wicked that was talked about in the first two verses, "the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise, and to do good. So there's kind of the contrast. God's words are pure words. The words of the wicked are iniquity and deceit. So where does all the deceiving come from? You know, in the book of Revelations, it says that the devil deceives the whole world. Now, some don't believe there's a devil. Oh, you believe in that devil thing, and that you must be some sort of a religious nut, you know, believing in the devil. Well, you know, it's interesting because God has a lot to say about the devil in His Word. A whole lot. And in the advanced class, we take kind of a deep dive into it, and it's amazing how much is in the Scriptures about our enemy, the adversary. Jesus Christ spoke about him. I wouldn't want to call him a religious nut, would you? Jesus Christ spoke about him more than once. Jesus Christ said the devil is a liar and the father of it. So, lies are not the truth. Deceit, iniquity, lies, all of that originate from the adversary. He deceives, and then he gets people to deceive. And sometimes people don't even realize they're deceiving him, because they're deceived. In Romans 16, probably a familiar verse. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to get fashioned by this age. Allow this age to fashion us. Romans 16, the last chapter in the book of Romans. Now look at this. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, right teaching, which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They deceive the hearts of the simple. How do they do that? By words. Words can deceive. Do you know fair speeches in that verse? It's one Greek word. And it has the meaning language artfully adapted to captivate the hearer. Isn't that interesting? Language artfully adapted to captivate the hearer. Good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. One of the most effective ways of deceiving is using words that stir up emotions. Words that make people feel afraid, make people feel guilty, make people feel angry. And many times people allow their emotions to bring them to the point of believing words that are contrary to God's Word. They allow their emotions to get them to that point. And this happens in religion, politics, culture. The trans movement is fueled by emotions. And emotions can often blind a person from the facts, from common sense, and from the truth. That's why without an understanding of God's Word, it's easy to get deceived. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Second Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Any means. We don't want our minds corrupted and fashioned by this age. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which means putting God's Word into our heads. Isn't that a very wonderful verse that's helpful? Because God's Word tells us that, and if it was not available for our minds to get corrupted, like Eve got really deceived, didn't she? I don't think we need to go back and read Genesis 3 right now, but she got totally deceived. And the adversary said, "You shall not surely die." An absolute lie. The liar, the father of lies. And she bought into it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we looked at this a few months ago. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man, no one, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away or a departure first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Don't let anyone by any means deceive you. And you see, if you don't know the truth about the end times, you will get deceived. You will get deceived. Galatians 1. God is so kind to put these verses in here so we don't get corrupted. We don't get deceived. In Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul said, don't buy into anything that's different than what we preached. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if they're holding a Bible or dressed in a pretty robe. It doesn't matter. And you know, many times if someone is prominent, famous, things they say, things they promote, things they agree with, because of who they are, people many times accept their words, their ideas, because of who they are. They're this prominent person, famous person. And this happens in the religious field. It happens in the political arena. It happens in culture. And we know that, right? There's another one in Ephesians 4. Verse 14 of Ephesians 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God says, don't be children. Grow up. Grow up. How do you grow up? Grow in God's Word, right? By gaining an understanding of the truth of God's Word. So let's go to the book of Proverbs for a few minutes. Right after the book of Psalms. The very first proverb. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is basically addressed to the young man. One who would need instruction and wisdom. And obviously that would apply to a, you know, from the time a kid is born. You know, because when children are born, what do they know? Nothing. And as parents, we teach them lots of things.
Right.
Because they don't know. They need instruction. They need understanding. They need wisdom. So that's what the book of Proverbs is addressed to the young man, to so he can gain wisdom, understanding. But it also applies to anyone not having God's wisdom and understanding, regardless of how old they are. You know, in the New Testament, Paul referred to born-again believers as babes. You know, I've fed you with milk because you just can't handle the meat yet. They hadn't grown up and matured. We just read in Ephesians, addressed to born-again believers, be no more children. Grow up. Get the understanding of God's word. So, Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the king of David, Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Perceive the words of understanding. It's a figure of speech. One's the noun, one's the verb. It literally means understand the words of understanding, which puts great emphasis on what? Understanding. That's why God put that figure of speech there. The emphasis is on gaining and understanding. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of understanding. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. The word wisdom in verse 3 is a different word than wisdom in verse 2. Verse 3, the word wisdom is prudence, good sense, practicality. And that good sense and practicality would be pertaining to justice and judgment and equity. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Subtlety is sharpness and skillfulness. To give sharpness and skillfulness to the simple. And the simple is one who doesn't know, one who needs instruction. And verse 5, a wise man or a wise woman will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Isn't it interesting that according to God, a wise person will hear and increase in learning? A fool won't. That doesn't mean go around judging people. Well, I know from God's word, you're a fool. We'll let God take care of the judging. But a wise person will hear and increase in understanding. In this book by Reverend Cummins, Scripture Consulting Select Studies, he has a section in here where he goes through the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. And it's absolutely awesome. And regarding these first 4 verses, here's a quote from that book. These Proverbs were written for the young man, a simple person, one who didn't know, so that they could know wisdom, and coupled with knowing wisdom was instruction in order to understand the words of understanding, so that he would have a clear and distinct perception of words and matters. He was also to receive the instruction of prudence, practicality, and good sense pertaining to justice, judgment, and equity. He was to acquire skillfulness, knowledge, and discretion in order to make the right decisions and choices as he matured. Isn't that awesome? Book of Proverbs. Really wonderful. And from an understanding of that, we can see that it's not just reading the Bible or memorizing verses or even sitting through a class. That's wonderful. But growing up is gaining an understanding and the ability to practically apply it in our lives. in our everyday lives. That's being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we're not deceived and fashioned by this age. So we can understand why God said to those born-again believers in Ephesians, be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, where they lie in wait to deceive. You see why God said that. We need the knowledge. You don't need to go there, but Hebrews 5 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But strong meat, listen to this, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, without a knowledge of God's word, it's a little hard to see good and evil. Easy to get deceived. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be fashioned by this age. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, in light of the times we live in today, you know and I know it doesn't matter what time of day you tune into the news. It's going to be negative. It's going to be discouraging. It's going to be disgusting. It's going to sometimes make you angry, right? But look at Jeremiah chapter 15. Not too far away, right after Isaiah. Jeremiah 15. We should all thank God we're not living in Jeremiah's day. This, I know, is a familiar verse, but in light of what I'm sharing, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, or in Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Would you like to have joy and rejoicing in your heart? Some don't. Some would rather just focus on all the BS that's going on and just get all wrapped up into it. But if you want joy and rejoicing in your heart, then get your head in the book. That's what he did. And you know what? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, right? God told Jeremiah what to write, and God told him to use this beautiful analogy. Thy words were found, and I did what? Eat them. Eat them. That means he didn't just read a verse here, there, once in a while, right? How often do we eat? How often do we feed ourselves? That's the point God's making. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. He fed himself with the word, meaning when you eat, you know, you put the food in your mouth, you chew it, and it goes down into your stomach, you digest it, you assimilate it, and it profits your body, right? That's the point God is making. Jeremiah fed himself God's word, and that's what gave him the joy and rejoicing in his heart. And do you think he had an easy life? You know, got up in the morning and said, well, where's the scroll? I think I'll read for a while, have some tea. Let me go outside, look around, almost lunchtime, think I'll take a nap. And just, he had such a hard life. He was so persecuted. He was jailed. He was beaten. One time they buried him in poop all the way up to his neck. And yet, thy words were found. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. How in the world can you have joy and rejoicing? There's one place in the book of Jeremiah where he said, I'm not going to speak his word anymore. I've had it. And he said, but his word was in me like a roaring fire, and I was weary with forbearing. just going to keep speaking. It was horrible time for God's people. Horrible time. Jeremiah was the one trying to get them to stop idolatry, or they're going to get wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar. And he was so persecuted for that, and that's exactly what happened. But the point is, he wasn't living such a wonderful, peaceful life. It was a tough time. So regardless of what the times are like, we can still have joy and rejoicing. And sometimes people say, how can you be so happy with, don't you know what's going on? Oh, I know what's going on. Do you know what's going on? That's some good stuff going on. Would you like to have some joy and rejoicing? It's really sad that in our day and time, for many Christians, the great value and great profit of making time to gain an understanding of God's Word is so undervalued and grossly overlooked. All Scripture is profitable, all of it. In Psalm 119, that'd be a good one to read the whole psalm. It's all it talks about is God's Word. But one verse I wanted to show you, Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words. See, we're considering words this morning, the impact that words have on us. When we hear words, we can either accept them and believe them or not. But here it says, the entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Isn't that interesting? We read in Romans about words that deceive the hearts of the simple. We read in Proverbs that God's Word gives sharpness and skillfulness to the simple. Here, it gives understanding to the simple. And before we close in 2 Peter, look at Psalm 19. We're in 119, go to 19. Psalm 19. Just read these few verses that are all about God's Word. And God's Word in these verses are referred to in a number of ways. Law, testament, statutes, testimonies, all referring to the words of God. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Okay. It's perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There's that rejoicing. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or reverence of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That's what God says about His words. Can't say that about the words we hear from other sources. So God is so wonderful in helping us to make a decision. You want my words? You want to not be deceived? You want to not be fashioned by this age? Take hold of my words. Let's close in 2 Peter 1. Short and sweet today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Anybody there? 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Where in the world can I find the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ my Lord? Where could I find that? I know. The news. Isn't that, what a promise. Who wouldn't want more? Grace is divine favor. Something you don't earn, just here, that bless you. And peace, that's the opposite of being discouraged, disgusted, uptight. You know, peace is the tranquility that we can have. Who wouldn't want more of that? I would. I know you would. God says, I'll multiply it to you. Not add it, not give you a little one. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According, verse 3, as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Not getting fashioned by this world. Not being corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Unless we move to a different country, we are all under the jurisdiction of this country that we live in. And we know God's word tells us to pray for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, right? So they leave us alone. We know to do that. And in addition to that, we can, if we want to, we can exercise our right to vote if we want to. But if people running for office are openly promoting or supporting ideologies, ideas that are contrary to God's word, using good words and fair speeches, whether they get elected or not, regardless, what do we do? We do what our God and Father has told us to do. We continue to make time to read and study God's Word. We choose to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we don't get deceived or fashioned by this age. We continue to pray. We pray for ourselves, we pray for our family and friends, and we pray for those in authority. We choose to walk with the love of God wherever we go. And we look to speak the truth to those that want to know. We choose to not be fashioned by this age, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's our lives. Verse 2 again. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you and I might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Father, thank you for your words, your wonderful Word of God, that you had holy men of God to write so that we could know you, know your Son, and Father, have great understanding in this age that we live in. Thank you for the understanding that we have today, and that, Father, we could put forth an effort to continue to grow in our understanding of your wonderful Word. Thank you for the complete redemption and salvation that we have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, how we all look forward to that day that you promised in your word that is true, that God is not a man that he should lie, in hope of eternal life that you promised before this age began. That Father, we look forward to that great day when Jesus Christ comes back. And until then, we thank you and praise you for your word, for your Son, And it's in his name we pray. Amen.